In the name of Jesus. Amen. Why weren't we ready for this? People have been asking that question a lot this year. Why weren't we ready for this? Back in April, which seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Back in April, National Public Radio had a podcast in which they tried to answer this question, why weren't we ready for this? Here's what the host said. Again and again, the world was warned that it was not ready for a pandemic. Warned by the World Health Organization and the World Bank in a big study last year. Warned by research scholars and in long magazine articles. Warned even by Bill Gates in a famous TED talk in 2015. Whatever you think of the pandemic, the world was not ready. Why weren't we ready for this? The podcast went on to explore some of the potential reasons. One is probably simply a matter of economics. Economic efficiency. People don't tend to spend money on the potential for a disaster, especially when they haven't experienced it themselves. How many airlines were cutting profit margins to install bulletproof cockpit doors on September the 10th? Another reason would be what some people call optimism bias. Now, some of you don't suffer from optimism bias because you're so pessimistic. But for most of us, even if we know there's a disaster coming, even if we see it on the horizon, we tend to think it's not going to hurt us. This would explain how most high school boys drive. Or there's simply the herd mentality. When there's just a few people worried about something, then most of us don't worry about it. But when everyone's going crazy, then it's a whole frenzy. It's a free-for-all. Did you try to buy toilet paper this last spring? There are all sorts of reasons why we were not ready for this pandemic. But ultimately, they all come down to one. We weren't ready because we can't see into the future. We plan and we calculate and we develop contingencies. But if there's one thing we're learning, and I think we're learning it actually in real time right now, it's that we don't know what's coming next. This isn't new, of course. In Noah's day, the people didn't see it coming. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were living their lives, going about their business, completely oblivious to the storm that was gathering. Then the rain came, and then the waters rose, and they were swept away. Except for Noah. Noah was prepared. Noah was ready, not of his own accord, not of his own doing, but because the Lord had favor on him. The Lord let him in on the secret. He told him about what he was going to do. The judgment, the water, the boat, the salvation. Noah heard this from the Lord, and miracle of miracles, he actually believed it. There was no economic efficiency here. Can you imagine the waste of money? People must have thought. Optimism bias? I can't imagine Noah was a very happy person. And the herd mentality? There was no herd. It was crazy Noah and his crazy wife and his crazy sons and their crazy wives. The herd was nowhere to be seen. Noah simply had the word of the Lord, the promise of God. And he believed. His wife and his sons and their wives, they believed. And their belief spilled out into their lives. Their belief built that boat. And in that boat that was built by their belief, they were safe. They were prepared. They were ready. Jesus brings up Noah in the reading we heard from Matthew chapter 24. It was just days before his crucifixion. Jesus had gathered his disciples together, had taken them outside of the city, outside of Jerusalem, sat them on the Mount of Olives, and there on that hill, he gave them a private lesson. He let them in on the secret. He told them about his impending death. He told them about the coming destruction of the city that they looked at from the Mount of Olives. He told them about his second coming. As it was in the days of Noah, he said, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be together in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other will be left. Be prepared. See, I've told you. You know that it's coming. Be ready. He's let you in on the secret, too. Your Lord is coming back for you. He's coming back in judgment. But you have already been judged. You have already been drowned. You have already been buried with him. You have already been raised to life with him. Your Lord, who is coming, has already pulled you into the boat. He has already made you safe. You, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you are ready. And he has shown you what is to come. Richard John Newhouse says that the church is a people ahead of time. We are a people who live in the present, knowing the future. We are a people who live in the present, knowing how it will end. Not how the pandemic will end, whenever it will end, if it will end. But we know how all things will end. We live in the present as a people ahead of time, and as we do so, we live ahead of time in the way we interact with one another. After telling his disciples to be prepared, Jesus asked them a question. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has set over his household to give them their food in the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Blessed is that servant who's doing what the master has given him to do when the Lord returns. So what has the master given you to do? Has he given you to teach? Then teach well. Teach the truth. Teach with humility. teach by example? Has he given you to learn? Then study. Study for the sake of those who are supporting you. Study for the sake of those who will depend on what you learn. Study with a teachable heart, with a willing spirit. Has the master given you a spouse or children? Give yourself to your spouse. Give yourself for your children. Has the master given you authority? Then exercise it with honor and integrity. Exercise authority above reproach. Has he given you a position under authority? Then receive it as from the Lord. Honor your father and your mother and all who are in authority over you. And in all things, rejoice. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul talked about his struggles, his difficulties, and he called the people of Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, those who had been let in on the secret, he called them to rejoice. He put it like this: I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I have learned the secret of dealing with a pandemic, of dealing with frustration and exasperation and exhaustion. I've learned the secret of dealing with people who are so hard to deal with. I can do all things. I can endure all things through him who strengthens me, through him who has brought me in on the secret. In just a moment, when I get done talking, we're going to have an extended period of silence. During that time of silence, I want you to imagine what it looks like in your life, in your specific circumstances. I want you to think about what does it look like for you to live ahead of time. To live with the present struggles, but to live with the sure and certain hope that your Lord, your risen Lord, is coming back for you. And then, after that time of silence, I invite you to rejoice with me in the Lord. I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord, I will rejoice. Look to God. Do not be afraid. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. In Jesus' name, amen.